What's that smell?
Oh, sorry. That might have been me.
No, it smells good.
Yeah, it smells like I'm at the beach or something. Smells amazing. Like I'm actually there.
Oh, yeah. That's my Nubble Light candle.
Nubble Light, as in the famous lighthouse in Maine?
Yep, that's the one. Pretty much all of their candles are inspired by New England.
Ooh, what scents do they have?
Well, this one I'm burning is called Salty Surf. It's got that classic sea salt and warm driftwood smell. It's so good.
It's really great. What else do they have?
Oh, they have a bunch, including Birch Breeze, Beach Bonfire, Camp Cozy, and Lighthouse Picnic. They all smell so good and so different. They also have this really interesting one called New England Bookshop that, honestly, guys, smells exactly like an old bookstore or library. It's honestly freaky how much it smells like it. And they also have a citronella candle, a candle that sparkles when you light it. That's called Backyard Stargazing. A rainbow candle for pride, of course. And a new one that smells just like a donut shop.
I'm gonna get that bookshop one for my friend who loves to read. She's got like hundreds of books in her house. She would love that.
Citronella, glitter, donuts, freaking rainbows? Oh my god.
Totally. And all the candles are slowly hand-poured one by one, made with high-quality soy wax and essential oil blends, made in the Northeast, and are near zero waste. Also, their shipping is so eco-friendly, guys. Anything you get from their website ships carbon neutral and with biodegradable packing peanuts. They actually dissolve in water. It's crazy.
What's the website?
NubbleLightCandle.com. NubbleLightCandle.com. And oh, I almost forgot. When you buy online, the shipping is free.
NubbleLightCandle?
LIGHT. Don't you forget it. Candle.com. And make sure to use the promo code ADDTHIS, ADDTHIS, for 20% off your order of two or more candles.
Thanks, I'm gonna get one.
Me too.
NubbleLightCandle.com. Handcrafted soy wax candles developed from the highest quality raw materials, classic New England fragrances inspired by life on the coast.
Hello, this is Add This to Your List. We are live and in person for the first time
ever
Woo! In all 67 episodes.
It's about
damn right. We are starting to do things, so be ready, world.
I am one of your co-hosts, Fumi Simano, in Connecticut from California.
And I am Tom Chuba in Connecticut. I live here. Fumi, you said you're from California.
Whoa.
I did.
She's certified Cali.
I did.
And I'm not certified Cali. And that is Mark J. Parker, originally from the Jers, then to the New York, and today in the Connecticut cowboy country.
You're hitting all tri-state areas.
Yeah. Let's talk about tri. Tri three hosts, and we're from three different areas, and there you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Love it.
Well, this is the first time the three of us are back together after, what, six weeks?
Gosh. Yeah,
maybe
about that.
A little more than that.
Yep. We last episode, it was the boys while Fumi was away.
Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
Tell us all about your trips. I need to know all the details.
Oh, God. So I went to, I mean, honestly, from Los Angeles, I've been to New Jersey, New York.
Very exotic.
Italy, Milan, Venice, Rome, Florence, Spain. Barcelona, Madrid, Portugal, Lisbon.
Yes.
Paris.
She is straight up bragging. Wow.
I am. And then I went to Jersey, and then I went back to New York, and now I'm in Connecticut. And then I go back to New Jersey before I go home.
It just keeps getting better and better and better.
I have hit the globe, people.
Out of all your international trips, which spot was your favorite?
I'm going to give you my top three.
Yes.
I thought that Madrid, Paris, and Lisbon were beautiful, bomb. Like, I just had so much fun. I loved them. I loved the architecture and, like, the people and the culture. It was just fantastic.
Love it.
Cool.
I love Madrid as well. You haven't been, Tom.
To Spain, no. I'm dying to go. But I'm going to Italy in, like, 6 weeks. So I'm about to get my Italian thing on and do la cosa italiana.
Yeah. Now, Milan, I felt like, was very much like New York.
Yes, yeah. I would say that.
It was cool, but it was like, okay, I've been here. And yeah. See, kind of Barcelona.
My favorite in Italy is by far Venice.
Venice was gorgeous.
Venice,
I remember
Venice,
when I went
years
ago with my family, a lot of people were like, eh, Venice is really, like, cheesy, touristy. I just remember people were like, it feels like you're in Disney World, but that's okay. And also, it kind of doesn't. No, I thought it was beautiful.
Well, I haven't been to Disney World since I was a child. So
oh, girl, you better get your ass there.
Add that to your list.
Add that to my list. So I know. Dramatic. I'm not going to go to Disney World until I actually have kids and I bring them there because I want to see it through their eyes.
Oh, that's kind of sweet.
But I loved Venice. I think the city on the water, it's just, there was nothing really else like it.
Yeah, it's you feel like you're in a movie. I mean, you feel like it's not even real.
It's gorgeous. It's stunning.
Paris, I didn't love.
Oh,
I
love Paris.
I think because I went years ago in high school with my family.
You need to go
Eve,
again.
And it was cloudy and rainy and like, well. And it was a year after 9/11. So
oh, downer.
But you loved it. I feel like it's a good time to go in the summer.
Everybody kept saying that Paris was going to suck because everyone has an attitude problem and that fact.
I didn't think
like,
so at all.
People are rude, but I didn't have that experience.
Okay, I Jeff did.
My cousin.
Oh no, Jeff and I didn't either.
Pickpocketed, but she caught him in the act.
She did.
She sure did.
How did she catch him? Was she just grabbed him?
We were coming out of the metro to go to the Eiffel Tower, and she felt like her back would get pulled. And he had unzipped her backpack all the way, and she caught him with his hand in her backpack, getting ready to steal her, like, fanny pack for her wallet. She, like, punched him. My cousin's scrappy. She's, like, 5'1", 118 pounds, but she was ready to fight, you know?
Wow.
She,
I mean, I would be, too. Shit.
What the hell are you doing?
That's my life.
Shit. Wow.
Cool. Okay. So now you're back and life is boring, but I mean, we got some shit to talk about.
I'm with you guys. I haven't seen your beautiful faces in so long.
I think it's nice to be back, honestly. I mean, you probably had an awesome time, but it's nice to come back to where you know.
Yeah, it's nice to be home, you know?
I get it.
Yeah.
Totally.
But what did you guys do? How were you guys while I was gone?
We hung out, as you know. We recorded our Pride episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our husbands guest starred. Yep.
Husbands were tipsy and sleepy, as usual, and probably tonight the husbands will fall asleep early.
Yep.
Fine.
Yep. I was busy recording for Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
For their Pride episode.
Great episode. And very, very good stuff, Tom.
Yeah.
You opened up.
I did.
And you sound
hopefully my mom doesn't hear it.
You don't want her to hear it?
No, I don't care if she does, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But that's a different story for different day.
You know, it's hard what you're talking about, but I don't think it's like you say anything terrible. It's the truth.
It's the truth. Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing.
I don't even know what I've been doing. What have I been doing the last few weeks, Greg? I don't know.
Maine.
Yep. Maine. Going to Maine again, of course, in a week. Just working, and I was teaching classes. Now they're done. It was my first adult acting class, which was fun.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, just working, and I don't even know. It's all a blur, but all I know is I'm here.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm here, I'm queer, and let's get to it.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, this is our 67th episode, so we're going to get into housekeeping and headlines. Then we're going to get into our lists, which are long overdue, because we haven't talked about them in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do something fun for you guys. We've got a little zaddy portion in honor of Father's Day.
Yes, to all the dads out there. Yeah,
we're going
to
talk about some hot men out there, whether they're dads or not, and whether or not we consider them a zaddy.
Yes.
I don't know if any of us really understand what zaddy means.
I think Mark has the best grip, so he can explain it later.
I still don't know if there's a difference between daddy and zaddy. Maybe we'll figure that out.
Maybe we'll create our own difference.
But yeah, get ready for some Zan zaddies.
Zaddies are younger.
Oh, zaddies are younger. Oh,
okay. Okay.
Good to know.
Well, we'll talk about zaddies and daddies.
Yeah.
We're open to all ages.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's start with some housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Apple TV releases its first full-length trailer for all mankind.
Yeah. So that's the first show that they decided to release a trailer for. We were talking a couple months ago that they kind of just gave glimpses of all their programming when they did.
I forget. Do we know what the cost will be? Did they announce that one?
No, they have not yet. Okay. They have not. Okay. But I think this is kind of an astronaut in the 1950s and 60s show.
Who stars in this?
Who's in it?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. Okay. I'm not sure if it's even a big name.
Okay. I would be into that if not.
But I'm hoping it's a little less First Man and a little more Apollo 13.
Right, because you guys didn't love First
Fumi Man. And I did not love
Both
First Man.
Both of those options actually quite bore me, to be completely honest.
What about Armageddon?
I don't know. I'm gonna watch this show. I hated Armageddon.
Oh, she just does not like space.
You know, that's so funny. Armageddon as a kid, loved it, obsessed, although Deep Impact was better.
Yes, Deep Impact was way better.
Armageddon as an adult is...
It's pretty bad.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
The best thing about it is the Aerosmith song.
I know, but it still makes me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck did look good then.
He sure did.
He sure did. And Liv Tyler, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Do we know when, I guess that'll be its first show
in the fall. Fall. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Right. Okay. Cool.
So
interesting.
Nice. And then we got the Tony Awards. Did you guys watch?
Yes, I did watch, I wasn't able to watch it live. I chose Big Little Lies season 2 over that. Sorry. But, I did catch up on it. Did you guys watch it all? A
little bit. Clips yeah. here and there.
A little bit.
Oh my gosh. First of all, Hadestown was the huge winner.
Yeah.
All new.
Mark and I, actually a few months ago, we almost went to go see it on a Wednesday night and tickets were like, no, on a Tuesday night.
It was, and they were kind of pricey.
Tickets were like $65 and we were like, eh, we feel like we'll get this in
double
a month from
now.
Now. We are so dumb. We are so dumb.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, we're definitely going to get this way cheaper. We'll just wait a little more. No. And it was like, no.
Well, shout out to Hadestown because it is the only show on Broadway directed by a woman.
Oh.
And she won Best Director.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Director. That is awesome.
Out of the nominees, she was the only female director. So that's impressive. She won. I mean, it cleaned up. It won like 8 awards.
It won Best Musical.
Won Best Musical. Won Director. Won, I think.
Actor.
Music and Lyrics. Yeah, I think featured actor, but that performance, I'm the kind of person where I don't like to listen to a Broadway show's music until I see it.
Agreed.
But I know a lot of people love to listen to the music, but once I saw that performance during the show of Hadestown, Tom, you liked that I posted the clip. That performance was so moving. I highly recommend listening to the song Wait For Me from the show. Watch them perform it. They also were on the CBS Morning Show performing it. It's a beautiful song. Oh my God. That is like my bonus ad for the week because it's just awesome.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that.
And I saw Tootsie recently, and that was a lot of fun. And he won Best Actor,
mm-hmm.
and that was fun to see him in drag. It's kind of funny how the Best Actor won for playing a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. And the Cher show. That
yeah,
was
Stephanie
actress.
J. Block.
That was, yeah, you like that
her
show.
Third. It was her third nomination, and
yeah,
she won finally. Third, I guess the. Third, what's the saying?
Consecutive?
No, no.
Third
three
times
a
charm.
Yeah, that's it. It's either the three strikes are out or third time's a charm.
Oh boy.
For her, it was third time's a charm, so. And I'm just going to drink some more cider.
Yes. Okay, honey. But no, it was a good show. I mean, you know, I know award shows in general, we've talked about, they can be too long and boring, but it's nice to see theater, and I feel like, unlike the Grammys where it's like, what is all this shit? I mean, you can actually appreciate all of this.
What did you think about James Corden and his hosting?
I mean, I thought he was okay. What'd you think?
He was fine.
He was fine.
I like him.
He's likable.
That show for a couple years now, I think, because, you
has
know, he has his late night show on CBS. So
yeah,
he's done
yeah.
it. This was at least his second. I thought he was good. He's fun when he's singing. Like, he did a fun bathroom singing song with Sarah Bareilles and Josh Groban.
Okay, from
so
Waitress,
kind of
sure.
fun... pairings with random celebs. I think it's cool. Speaking of James Corden, did you watch RuPaul's daytime talk show?
Not yet.
It premiered this week. It's actually really fun, and James Corden is his first guest.
I'm sure.
But yeah, that's a fun little daytime show. It's just, they're doing like a 3-week sneak peek, and
right.
it's very much an extension.
Run.
Yeah, just to test it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, I mean, I'd be shocked if it doesn't get picked up, but it's very much an extension of Drag Race. He's not in drag. It's not like
well,
RuPaul's...
you gotta pay RuPaul to get in
oh,
drag,
yeah,
honey.
Of course. And you can tell... I mean, the set looks great, but you can tell the budget's low.
A little low?
You know, sneak peek set. But he's not in drag. It's not like his show that, you know, really got him started, God, what, in the 90s when he was in drag. But he says a lot of the sayings from Drag Race and Michelle and Ross.
Oh, Visage,
there,
yeah.
As his kind of like little sidekicks, at least in the first episode. So, you know, little tangent there. But James Corden's... very interesting on that show because he's not his big, loud, crazy self. He's very subdued. It's like you see a different side to him as just when he's the guest.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, as he should. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's not his time
it's
to
not
shine.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
All right, let's get into some headlines.
Yeah.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with Spielberg now?
So, I thought this was very interesting because we have talked about Spielberg. Everyone was very confused that Spielberg was so anti-Netflix, of course, a couple months ago, that whole thing. Spielberg now is making a show with a brand new streamer. Yes, another one. I'm not sure how you say it. It stands for Quick Bites, so I'll call it Quibi.
Quibi.
Quibi? Is that, yeah? So Spielberg apparently is writing a horror streaming show. Mm. It'll be about 10 episodes, it sounds like, and they're all going to be 10 to 15 minutes long. So short episodes.
Everything on Quibi is, I don't even think anything is allowed to be more than 20 minutes.
Interesting.
Hence the name. And that makes sense because have you guys heard of State of the Union with Rosamund Pike and Chris O'Dowd? It is a Sundance show that are only 10-minute episodes, and it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to try and do that. I don't know.
I don't know, to tell you the truth. Is that online for Sundance, or it's on the actual, like, network?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but it's definitely it's Sundance.
I have seen ads for that, yeah. So, yeah, he apparently, Steven Spielberg, I guess, hasn't written anything in a while, and something, I guess, came over him, and he wants to make a truly scary show. Which is also kind of new-ish for him. It's been a long time since he's done horror. Mm-hmm. You know, Jaws, and he was involved in Poltergeist, all that back in the day. But yeah, so it'll be 10 episodes, and he wants them to be released, I guess, once a week after midnight. You can only watch these episodes between midnight and sunrise.
Interesting.
Yes, he wants it to be truly scary at night after dark.
I feel like that's really putting yourself in a niche, though.
I agree.
Yes, very much. But I have a feeling here's probably what's going to happen. They'll be released each week or whatever, and then I'm sure, well, I guess, I don't know, since it's a streamer, I was going to say, then it would probably be available, like, in the daytime. But once you're streaming, you can watch it whenever. But I guess each premiere will be, like, 12:01 on whatever day.
Interesting.
So that's kind of cool. I just think it's so funny, because just a couple months ago, he was so anti-streaming. So
methinks he's a hypocrite.
Well, methinks he might be straight up backpedaling, and he heard what everyone was saying.
Get with the program.
And is exactly like, okay, never mind, let me get on everyone else's level. So, either way, cool. It sounds interesting. I don't know much about Quibi. I know Chrissy Teigen, I guess, will have a show. She's doing, like, a Judge Judy. It's going to be Judge Chrissy, a short little fun show where she's judging.
Oh, Lord.
They are getting everybody you can possibly imagine involved in this. It's going to be supposedly huge. It's only supposed to be like $4.99 a month. Like, it's going to be, Lena Waithe has something on there.
Really?
Like, a lot of big names.
Yeah. So I guess all this will launch next year, 2020, it sounds like. So, cool. Well, I guess that's something else we'll have to add to our list of budgeting for streamers.
And then, Tom, you've got some, like, unhappy, sad news, in your opinion.
Yeah, this marks the end of an era. EW, Entertainment Weekly, announced 2 weeks ago now that they are going to a monthly.
I know.
Instead of weekly, and they cut, like, 20 to 30 staffers, some of whom had been there 20 to 30 years.
Oh, damn.
One of them tweeted, "What do you do when you've loved going to your job every single day and they tell you you're no longer welcome there?"
Oh,
that is so sad.
That's so sad. Yeah, they got rid of
Welcome. That's so dramatic. But, I mean, you know, that's...
Right. Well, I mean, when you lose your job, you're no longer welcome there.
Well, I don't think that that's a fair way of putting it, but we're getting off.
You think it's a little? You think it's a little much?
It's a little dramatic.
I mean, he just lost his job. I get it.
Especially if, these people were there for a long time. Yeah. So it is weird, the sudden change, but
I'm not surprised.
It speaks to magazines in general, and then it speaks to, maybe even more importantly, how things are owned by bigger conglomerates.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I forget who owns Entertainment Weekly. Is it? It was Time. Now it's like Warner Media.
I think it's Meredith.
Oh, it's Meredith.
Oh, it is Meredith. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's hence all the changes. Yeah.
Yes, so
it seems they're going to try and focus on...
But we're being clear here. It's the magazine.
Correct.
That's now monthly. They'll still be updating the website on it up to date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we think so, but I feel like I did read that they've even cut some of their digital people as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if that means we'll still get the same amount of updates on social and online, or if it's now going to be scaled back, but yeah, they basically removed a good portion of people from every department.
Wow.
That's sad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it'll still be an awesome magazine. I've loved it since, I don't even know when.
Since I was like 12, maybe even younger.
I can't get rid of the subscriptions. For a while there, I wanted to do just digital, and I still would get the paper magazines, but I love it, so hopefully it doesn't change too much.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, well, that means we're getting into our list. Are y'all ready?
Ooh!
It's
one,
time.
1, 2, 3, go!
All right, let's hear from Mark first.
Ooh, wow, I was not thinking that. Okay, thank you. So I have two items on my list this week. First one, this is a little bit of kind of bonus news that ties into this pick. So, I don't know if you all have heard, there's this streamer called DC Universe that I don't know how many people are watching it. I don't think many. But they have a few shows, and they just released this new show, Swamp Thing.
Yeah, that poor thing.
It came out May 31st, first episode, within 6 days. Before they even streamed episode 2, it's once a week, they canceled the show. They canceled the show 5 or 6 days after it premiered.
Damn.
Super hardcore.
Where can you watch this streaming?
DC Universe. You can download the app. You just make a, like right now I have a free trial. And it's much like everything else. You just sign up. You can watch on your computer, on your Apple TV, whatever. But so I was really surprised because I saw ads for this show. It's produced by James Wan.
Oh.
Directed by Len Wiseman, who is Kate Beckinsale's ex, who
yep.
directed Underworld.
Wow, really?
Oh yeah. It's got a great cast. Virginia Madsen, Jennifer Beals, Will Patton, who was in the Halloween remake.
Yep.
You might not know his name, but you know his
name. Oh, no, you know him. Yeah.
Crystal Reed is the...
Wow. Okay, I'm a little surprised they canceled this thing so fast then.
And you know who else was surprised? James Wan. James Wan got on Instagram.
I bet he was pissed.
And he said, I have no idea why my show was canceled. They have not... The company that owns DC is Warner Media, who apparently next year will have their own streaming service.
Oh.
So this is very interesting. Now we're in the world of not only do we have different streaming services, but they're owned by other streaming services, and... It's just bizarre, guys. I'm sure the show is a little expensive to produce. It's set in Louisiana. It's down south. It's great CGI, all this stuff. But it's weird. They did not give anyone a warning that they were announcing its cancellation.
So, wait. We're in our list segment, so that means you've watched it.
That means I've watched it. I watched the first two episodes. So, I gave it a watch, especially... I was already interested. I was already like, I might do a free trial for that show. It looks pretty good. Then, after this news, I was like, I gotta see what's up, because... Critics love it. Fans are obsessed
Wait,
with it.
What's
really?
Going on, then? What,
I know.
That doesn't make any sense.
So I watched it. Guys, I love it.
No way.
I love it. I showed a little bit to Greg, and he was like, oh my God. It is like movie level worthy. The CGI, it's gross. It's straight up a horror show.
Okay.
Swamp Thing. I never knew much about Swamp Thing. Wes Craven did the original movie
yeah.
back in the early 80s.
Right?
I never got around to seeing it. I know it's, of course, now a little cheesy. It's sort of a Beauty and the Beast style thing where he's the monster, she's the pretty girl, but they kind of are together, and he's sort of a good, creepy superhero. So I'm telling you guys, I would add that to your list. Get a free trial. It's going to be 10 episodes each week. I think they release it every Friday.
Oh, so they will be still
yes.
releasing the 10 episodes.
Yes.
It's
mm-hmm.
just not going to
happen
to season
2.
Absolutely.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
you were saying,
yeah.
first episode done, we're not doing any more.
That's
right.
what I thought,
no,
too.
They
okay.
are gonna, that's the weird thing. They know that they have something that a small group of people like. And the different articles are saying they canceled it because of some weird business thing. They're not sure, like, what's going on with Warner Media, so... Now they're thinking, well, at least we have season 1 as quantity in our library.
Okay.
They're thinking
interesting.
That's just something else to have in their library. But guys, it's worth a watch. You guys would like it. It is gross, but here's the thing. You know me, I love my horror, but I don't love gore. It's not anything you can't handle. The
okay.
CGI is great.
So...
It's very much like The Thing meets Alien meets The Ruins. Remember we saw the movie
yeah.
The Ruins?
Love The Ruins.
With the vines.
Yeah.
Love The Ruins.
It's very viney. It's the swamp. It's, you know, set in a fictional town in Louisiana. Guys, I like it a lot. Derek Mears, who you might not know.
Jason
his
Voorhees.
Name, but... Derek Mears is a veteran horror actor, stuntman. He's played everyone from Jason to The Hills Have Eyes to all sorts of things. I think he's even like in X-Men movies. He is the Swamp Thing. And if that's so, that's bonus horror cred. I really liked it a lot. I
okay.
watched the first two. I want to keep watching it. Real talk, I probably will get rid of my free trial by the time it
Fair.
expires.
We're not surprised.
But once all the 10 episodes are out at the end of the summer, I'll totally... sign up for another free trial and binge it. That's no shade to Swamp Thing. That's just a little shade to DC Universe. I personally don't really need to have a membership to DC Universe. I don't really.
I mean,
know,
that's
exactly.
fair.
Yeah,
they're not Marvel.
You know, they have a couple other shows, but yeah, I don't. No thanks. But Swamp Thing, guys, if you're in the mood for a fun, kind of more hardcore CW show, you know, everyone's kind of pretty, but there's F-bombs, there's blood, there's vines going through people. Oh my God, it's shocking. It's like things are wiggling. Go for Swamp Thing. It's good. It's good. And DC Universe, get your shit together. I don't know what's going on. And Jennifer Beals from Flashdance has a great southern accent. I feel like, Tom, you would approve.
Okay.
Yeah. She's really like, I'm your ma, and you better listen to me. Next up, my second item is not as exciting. I knew Fumi would gasp. So, there's this movie that I feel like everyone's raving about, so I watched it on Netflix called Always Be My Maybe.
Or as Tom likes to call it.
Yeah, Always Be My Maybe. Yeah.
The Asian movie?
The Asian movie, yes. But not Crazy Rich Asians and not Searching and not The Meg, like those Asian movies we were talking about last year. New Asian movie.
I'm literally in shock. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
See, and I'm not surprised you think that because I know you love your Netflix movie, but guys.
This was a cute rom-com.
It's cute, but was it worth it?
Mark, go ahead, say what you gotta say.
So, I don't know, guys. Everyone is loving it. You know, it got a lot of buzz because Keanu Reeves makes a really fun, I almost don't even want to call it cameo because he's like, And he's, of course, great, and he's having a lot of fun. But even that, I was kind of like, okay, yeah. And I don't know, something about it, I guess maybe I just was reading too much into the hype. It's a total normal rom-com, and if it did not star Asian people, we would not be talking about it. I'm sorry, but it's true. Do you agree or not? If it's... what?
No, I think, first of all...
If it starred friggin' like someone from Pretty Little Liars
I joke because the main two cast members are named Sasha and Marcus, and it's all about hip-hop, so I'm like, initially, the screenplay was for black people.
That's interesting. You probably are so right, because yeah, hip-hop... certain 90s music plays a huge role, obviously,
They're in Oakland.
Yeah, you are so right.
Like, come on.
Yeah. What's her name? Ali Wong. I have a feeling Ali Wong got her hands on it, and then they just turned it into an Asian movie, which, obviously, that's great. And I think a lot of the supporting characters are great. Like, the guy's dad is very cute.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun
Randall
little roles.
Parks.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're so right. I feel like this just it just doesn't feel authentic to me in some way, or I don't know. If anything, I actually think the story should have been a drama. I really think it should have been a drama. They get together when they're...
Because they're not like...
They're 18, and then they don't speak for years, and like, I just thought that could be interesting, like, to run into your kind of old flame, and instead it's... I mean, I laughed a little bit. Like, I gave a little, like, I wasn't laughing like I thought I would be. But you were laughing? You were into it?
No, I don't necessarily think I was laughing, but I thought it was very cute. I thought that Ali Wong did a great job, and that Randall Park did a good job.
Yeah.
I thought their comedy together was good. Ali Wong's publicist or manager?
Her friend who's pregnant?
Michelle.
That one?
Batu? Is that how you say her last name?
Oh.
That comedian?
Yeah, I love. I like her.
I thought she was funny.
Yeah.
Wait, is she the same one on Tales of the City?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I thought it was cute. I loved the music. I was all about it. Like the 90s hip hop. I loved their chemistry together.
Okay.
I thought Keanu Reeves did a funny job.
Yeah,
when he comes into the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like him and Ali Wong are together.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And like the fact that they were eating air at the restaurant was
that
funny.
That whole scene is the best thing in the whole movie. And that's in the trailer. Like, I just feel like I saw the trailer and I saw the movie. Like, I, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I think that speaks overall to, like, for some reason, Netflix keeps wanting to, like, show their
give
whole movie.
Give the whole thing away, yeah.
In their trailer,
right.
So
mm-hmm.
I do agree there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it's definitely cute. It's not bad. It's not a skip that shit. I just personally think it's an okay to miss.
All right, that's fair.
I highly disagree.
Fumi says, what,
add it now,
watch it, stop this podcast and watch it now. Yeah, I don't know, the whole time I'm like, yeah, and... But, you know.
You also did not like the other rom-com that Fumi loved.
I did not love the one
loved.
That Fumi and the whole entire universe loved.
I can't even think of it. Yes, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was fine. I mean, again.
I feel like you just made your point.
Yeah, I mean. These
i.e., Fumi's right.
Oh.
I was going to say, i.e., it's the same movie.
By the way, listeners, you might be hearing a camera, like, clicking. Where paparazzi are here taking photos. But Greg is here, and he even just said he fell asleep to All the Boys. Who I've loved or whatever. He didn't even want to watch Always Be My Maybe. So maybe that's just us. Again, these movies are not bad. I would never say skip that shit. They're very enjoyable. It's just kind of like in the age of so much content, like you gotta do something a little different. Like, you know, if it's gonna be this simple of a story, you gotta shoot it in a really unique way.
you gotta make it a little dirty, a little, like, you know, foul language. This was very, like, normal. So that's just my thought.
All right, point taken. Tom, what is your... What's on your list?
All right, so I got two items. The first one I'll start with, it's a special shout-out in a way because we got press passes to Greenwich Film Festival. Thank you, Greenwich Film Festival. I wasn't able to go see Kesha in concert. She was the opening gala to, and I would have been able to. My press pass granted me access to that event, but I couldn't clear my calendar. I had to meet with my parents and Jeff and my friend to plan our trip to Rome in August. Oh, so that was the conflict.
Pretty good excuse.
Yeah. But I did go and I checked out the movie Wild Rose, which I had heard about for a while because a lot of the country music media is kind of covering it. Because it's about to come out in August, I think, limited release.
Is it a true story or no?
No, it is not a true story.
Okay.
Has a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I was super excited about it. Julie Walters is in it. We love her from Mamma Mia and many other films. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to say it's an add this to your list. It is a very good movie. It is about this woman who gets out of prison. It takes place in Scotland.
Okay.
So this Scottish woman... who's kind of just a rebel. She can't get her shit together. She had a kid at like 16, had another kid at 18, ended up in prison for a couple of years because someone stuck heroin in her backpack, and she kind of took the fall for it. So she gets out of prison. Broke Down Palace, which we were just talking about. From one broke to the other. Yep. So very different movie. I mean, they're both kind of country-esque, but... But she's always had a love for country music, and her thing is she wants to get to Nashville because she thinks she can make it in the country music industry. So she gets out of prison, and her mom is Julie Walters. She's hoping that she's going to get her shit together, but she still feels that pull to music, and she feels torn between being a mom to her children or going and pursuing her dreams. And she's not sure that she can do both at the same time successfully. Mm. Very good movie. Very heartwarming. Tearjerker in some scenes. The acting is phenomenal.
How old is she when she gets out of prison?
In her late 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, so the kids are like 9 and 10. They're grown up and they want their mom around, and she's kind of like, sorry guys, I got a gig. You know? But it's a wonderful film. You don't see movies like this all the time. It does feel very UK. You know,
well, right, and the lead actress is also British, right?
Yes, I'm blanking on her name right now, and I'm so sorry for that. Jessie something.
Yeah, I heard she's very good. I'll look it up while you're talking.
She's awesome. I can't say enough about her. I think we'll see more of her in the future. There were a couple of country music star cameos. Winona Judd does a little bit of a cameo. Some woman who's really up and coming right now in country music named Ashley McBride. Her album was actually on Barack Obama's Best Music of 2018 list.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, she's in the film. She has a cameo. So, yeah, just wonderful. When it makes its way to cinemas, go and check it out.
Sophie Okonedo is in it, too.
Yeah, Sophie Okonedo is in it, and she's very, very good.
Okay.
I think both of you would enjoy it very much. It probably will find life on streaming.
Streaming, yeah.
As opposed to in theaters. Because it is very indie, but check it out when it does.
Is it out this month?
I think it comes out in August.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. The trailer looks moving, and I for some reason I thought it was about Janis Joplin. I don't know why.
No, but she's very influenced by that. So yeah,
very much
yeah.
That kind of
vibe. And the music is fantastic. The soundtrack is bomb. It's really good.
Cool.
So, yep, that's the first thing. Second thing on my list, I am so happy to talk about Netflix's revival of Tales of the City, which I just schooled Fumi on last night because she had never even heard of the originals. But back in the early 90s, there was one Tales of the City. Then about 8 years later, there was further Tales of the City. And then in 2001, the property went from PBS to Showtime.
Right.
And at the same time that they premiered Queer as Folk season one, they also premiered the third season, which was called Further Tales of the City. So you had Tales, More Tales, and Further Tales.
A lot of tales.
They are based on books written by somebody who's very famous in the gay community named Armistead Maupin. Wonderful story. Laura Linney stars in all of them. And it is essentially about she plays this cookie cutter girl from Midwest Ohio who moves to San Francisco on a whim. And she meets this gay guy, and they form this wonderful, wonderful friendship, and they live in this building for which Olympia Dukakis is the landlord.
Right. I love her.
Love her. She's so good, and I keep spitting. Sorry about that.
Here, I'll give you your drink.
Yeah, I need my drink.
Mm-hmm.
So Netflix came out with another iteration, and guys, it is so good. Nice. What I like about it is they kept all the original characters. So Laura Linney, the character of Michael Tolliver, who many people in the community would know that name. Olympia Dukakis, even at 87 years old, is in it again, playing Anna Madrigal, the landlady of this little building, this apartment building. But they've also incorporated a young generation of characters. So it feels old and new at the same time. Netflix did a wonderful job of honoring everything that made the original so lovable. They did remove a lot of the camp, because the original Tales of the City, they were all very, very campy to the point of ridiculousness.
Like over the top.
Like over the top. Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a comedy, or
is it? I mean, no, it's more, it's a dramedy. Yeah, it's a dramedy. Okay. So they removed a lot of that, but they still maintained what made the original series so lovable, and they've just updated it. And there's a lot more diversity. The original Tales of the City was very white.
Right.
Very, you know, now there's there are two trans actors. There are two or three Asian characters. There's a black character.
I think is there a deaf character? I know a deaf actor that's in it.
Oh, really? I don't know if I've gotten to it yet, because it's 10 episodes. Okay. This is the longest Tales of the City, by the way. The first two were only 6, and then the third season that Showtime did was only 3 hours. It was only three episodes. So Netflix did 10 episodes, and they're all an hour each. I've gotten through 4, but I absolutely love it. It's not afraid to have the hard conversations. Fumi was watching an episode with me last night.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they had a really interesting conversation at a dining room table. It was a dinner party, and they got into it about the word tranny.
Yep, and whether that's okay in the gay community.
Right, and the younger person, the younger character, was upset by everyone else using that word.
Mm.
And then they had a really fascinating conversation about those who had been here for the fight, for the struggle.
Through AIDS.
Through Stonewall. That made it so that the younger guy who was 28 could feel comfortable enough to be, like, you know, intersectional. And, like, the fact that he can even sit there and be like, you shouldn't say the word tranny. And I don't think there was anyone that was right or wrong. I think it was just a valid point.
It was such a powerful scene that me, Jeff, and Fumi, as soon as the scene ended, we paused it and we were all like, let's talk about this. Because like, are they right or not? And, like, we had a good 5-minute conversation before hitting resume on the episode.
Oh, I love that. Add it to it. It is very great.
It is honestly the most accepted I've felt on television since Queer as Folk days as a gay man. It's wonderful. Laura Linney, it plays her goofy character of Marianne Singleton. She's totally into it. She's so committed to the role all these years later. Even Olympia Dukakis, I mean, bitch could barely walk, but she is doing her thing, whether she's sitting in a chair or in a bed. I mean, she is acting her scenes. So props to her. I'm so happy they did this.
That's great. Now, because here's the thing. I knew about the show for years, but I never have watched any episode ever. Do I need to watch the old stuff to watch the new stuff?
I don't know, Fumi. What do you think?
I would have liked to have known
what was going on.
And what was going on. I felt a little lost.
Can you very quickly, Tom, like, just explain? Because Laura Linney's the lead of every season.
Yes.
It sounds like. So, like, in the very first season, was she fresh to San Francisco?
And yep,
like,
she moves there from Ohio.
What's the general kind of arc that she goes through?
Moves there from Ohio and makes friends with Michael Tolliver and learns acceptance and learns about just other cultures and learns about diversity through him. Okay. That's her arc. She comes from, like, a very straight edge, middle class, Midwestern family. And she just learns that there's much more out there in the world. In the time since the third one in Netflix's iteration, you've learned that she has left San Francisco, and she comes back for Anna, who's Olympia Dukakis. She comes back for Anna's 90th birthday in particular, after being away from the city for like 15 years, leaving her daughter, who's played by Ellen Page, who's actually very wonderful in this series. Yeah, she's very good too, very committed to her role. So it's kind of like a rediscovery. She's having a midlife crisis. She's not getting along with her current husband. He's actually filed for divorce, and so she's trying to find herself again in the midst of old friends.
Okay.
And that's how they write the new characters in, is through Ellen Page's connection.
Oh, wow.
So all of her friends are transgender, and yeah.
It sounds great. I feel like I need to watch the original
episodes. I would say you probably do.
But how would we even do that now?
Do we
even know?
I actually wanted Jeff to watch them, and I had to buy them all on Amazon on DVD.
Oh, God.
Yeah, DVD. You can't find them anywhere. Yeah.
I'm surprised Netflix didn't try to get the
original. I know. I was super surprised,
I'm sure
too.
They probably tried, and maybe there was something holding it up. But wow. Okay. Cool. That sounds great.
So those are my two items.
No Rocket Man.
No Rocket Man. I mean, I liked it. Okay. I just, you know.
Didn't love it?
No, I did. I just feel like it's old news by now. It didn't blow up the box office the way I thought it would after seeing Bohemian's performance at the box office. I thought it would be that kind of hit. I mean, it's doing well. It's doing fine, but it's just not that
kind
of hit.
People love Queen, though. I don't know how people... I mean, people love Elton John, but...
Yeah, people love Queen, yeah.
Wow. I still have to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I'll definitely...
Bohemian?
No, Bohemian I saw. But Rocket Man, no.
No, it's very good. Taron Egerton is awesome.
Yeah.
I would be very disappointed if he didn't get an Oscar nomination, put it that way.
You don't think so?
Will? Why not?
I don't know. I haven't even seen it.
Well, there you go.
You think it's something about him or the movie?
It's just too far out. People will forget about it.
Interesting. Yeah, because it's May. Okay, interesting. We'll see.
All right.
What you got, Phil?
So, first thing on my list is a shout out to the fabulous tours that I took while I was abroad.
Oh, interesting.
So, ooh. I'm shouting out and people telling people to add to your list free walking tours.
Mm. Okay.
There's two in particular that I did. One was called Strawberry Tours. So they're basically in every major international city that you would go to. So
really?
Madrid, Paris, Barcelona, Lisbon, South Africa, Cape Town.
Wow.
They're everywhere. Oh, wow. And they are free, people.
F-R-E-E.
It is based on a honor system. These people are touring you, and you are giving them tips based off of what you feel they deserve from the tour.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. I thought when you put this on your list, I swore it was an app, and that's why it was free.
These are actual free tours that you can take when you travel abroad. So the first is called Strawberry Tours, and you pick, like, for instance, you, in Madrid, you can either tour the old city or the new city or get a historical one or go on a tapas tour.
Wow.
And they take you around to take tapas.
Now, how do you know all your options? Do they email?
It says on the website.
Oh, okay.
You pick, you say how many people are in your group, you add them, and then you're just signed up. And then they just tell you the meeting place.
Wow.
So everybody meets at a certain location.
And the only payment is the tip.
The tip. And then you walk around the city. You'll be able to see the whole city, probably more than you would on your own.
Yeah.
And you get these really interesting
local flavor,
like knowledge of where you're visiting.
Do you think the housewives have done this? You know how sometimes when they go on these like vacations and then there's like a tour guide? Like I know like Jersey went somewhere last year and there was a tour guide. I wonder if it was this.
Oh, I don't know.
And the show is just like, here's just a $100 tip. Go take them everywhere.
I don't know. Right? I don't know.
Interesting.
But probably
that sounds
because
great.
Productions can be a little cheap. But I will say, it's a great thing to do. So you can do Strawberry Tours. I did a few. I definitely did one for London. I did one for Madrid. I did one for Paris. I did one for Rome.
Cool.
And I did one for Venice.
Nice. Okay.
And Venice,
they're like all day long?
They're 2 hours max. And they take it, like, for Venice, I got to see, like, a 360 view of the whole city. And it's, like, this hidden place that you can go take a look and see the city. But I would have never known that if it wasn't for a local who, like, gave me a tour.
Oh, yep. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And you get to meet people on the tour and the tour groups.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, did you do this
world.
Alone or did you do some tours with people you were with?
I did some with people and then I did some by myself. And it's just a great way to, like, especially if you're traveling alone, it's a great way to meet people.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm into it.
I feel like, not so, like, out there alone.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do free walking tours of Danbury. I'll create one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Want to, like, on Danbury.
That's awesome, food. And so how did you originally find out about it?
I actually found out about it in London because one of my friends from London signed us up for a tour. And I was like, what is this? And then I realized they do one for every major city you can think of. And countries.
Wow.
And I was like, this is crazy. And the fact that it's free, it's just like shocking.
That's a cool way for people to make money if you, you know, don't have a typical, you know, full-time work schedule. You can make some money taking people around everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Strawberry Tours, and then the other one was a Sandman tour, which is also free.
Sandman.
And this one is, I did in Paris.
Okay.
And it was a history tour.
And why is it called Sandman?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. The guy was a history buff. He was from London, but he moved to Paris to study history at college, and then he got his master's, and then he just lived in Paris for 5 years, and he took us everywhere.
And that was still only 2 hours?
Every major
landmark
you could possibly think of.
And all in 2 hours?
All in 2 hours. You walk everywhere.
Were you, like, sore?
Oh, I did, like, 20,000 steps today. I was exhausted.
Wow.
And then the guy was so good, he was like, well, I'm going to a cafe after. And everybody just followed him there.
Oh, my God.
To, like, talk to him more.
Wow, that's awesome. That's definitely going to use it in Italy.
I'm telling you, people, free. Like, there's really no
How much did you tip?
On an average of 10 to 20 euros.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're really good, you get 20. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should be tipping anybody more than less than 5 euros.
Right.
10 is fair.
Okay.
You know?
Cool, yeah.
And if you've got 20 people on your tour, 10 euros each, you made a good living that day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow.
So that's the first thing on my list.
I love that.
And then I'm telling you, they tell you the history of everything. And it's just basically getting to know a city from a local.
Yeah. Which is great. You don't feel like it's so commercial or so, like, you know, it's like the real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So that's the first thing on my list. The second thing on my list is I Am Mother on Netflix.
Ooh, I am excited to hear what you think. I have not watched, but it looks good.
I don't even know what it is, y'all.
Oh, Tom.
Really?
No.
He's been watching too much gay shit.
It is Pride Month, Mark.
You make that a lie.
Right?
So.
That's our title.
So. I Am Mother stars Hilary Swank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Oh, not the shade
the
to Hilary Swank.
The first celebrity Greg and I ever saw together.
No, but we were.
I knew at your wedding.
At wedding trivia, who was a celebrity that we bumped into on literally the first time we saw each other in person. It was Hilary Swank smiling at us with her dog outside of Benny's Burritos.
But we were just talking about her on Memorial Day weekend, us boys, and we were saying that, like, her career, she just, like, picks the same roles over and over again, but maybe I Am Mother is very different.
Well, don't tell me what it is, because we'll see if this is the same career role that she picks. So, I Am Mother is a science fiction thriller. It is directed and written by people we don't know about, so there's, I mean, Grant and Michael.
It feels foreign.
Like, it's not foreign.
Oh, okay.
So, Rose Byrne is the voice of the robot.
Rose Byrne?
Oh, Rose Byrne from, like, Bridesmaids? That Rose?
Insidious?
Did you say her name Byrne? Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah, it's B-Y-R-N-E.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I think it's Byrne.
Okay. Yeah, it is Byrne. It's the Australian way,
Byrne.
Yeah, because she's Australian.
Okay, oh, so Rose Byrne.
British. Oh, she's great. I love her no matter what.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
So she's the voice. Cool.
So she's the
voice
of the mother, which is the robot. Hilary Swank, it replaces the woman. And then there is, like, an up-and-comer. I think her name is Clara Ruggard. She is daughter.
Clara.
That's how you say it.
No, I mean.
Okay.
She is daughter. So essentially, it's like this post-apocalyptic world, we think, where there is a robot who basically births the daughter through an embryo.
A human?
Yeah.
What?
And she raises this girl.
Okay.
What?
So yeah, robot is mother.
To like save mankind.
Okay. And where are there other humans, or is it really just this girl?
It's really just this girl. It's this girl, the robot, and Hilary Swank. They're like the only three people in the entire movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And so this girl thinks that, you know, the world has been destroyed and humans no longer exist because of like this plague. And you can't go outside because it'll kill you instantly, because that's what the mother of the robot has taught her her whole life. Until one day, someone is screaming for help, and it happens to be a Hilary Swank.
Interesting.
So
she's like, are they in like a, not a spaceship, but like they're just
in like
some sort of fortress?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the first time the daughter sees another human herself.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's where sort of like the twist of the movie comes in, because then you get to like understand that maybe the world isn't exactly the way mother has been describing it to daughter.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which I do love those movies when the AI, the robots aren't all that they seem, like Ex Machina. Remember
that? Oh, that was what, Alicia Vikander?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like anything like that where there's humans versus robots. It's also interesting. Okay.
So I'm going to say that it is a one and done.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. Yeah, no, I think that would be fair.
Yeah.
It's not a movie you have to rush to see now. It's not a movie you have to rush to see later. When you get to it, you get to it, and then you never have to see it again.
Okay.
But it's good.
You were into it. It wasn't bad. Okay.
I'm happy. I watched it on a plane.
Okay.
Yeah, it killed some time.
Would it have survived outside of Netflix or no?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Is it creepy? Is it like a thriller at all or not really? It's more just like a... Is it sad?
No.
Is it long? No. Fumi's in the Inquisition here.
It's not. No. It literally serves its purpose. It's an hour and maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's long.
Standard.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Oh. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Tom wants everything to be like 59 minutes.
No, it really is a one and done. Hilary Swank plays a woman who, you know, at first you think she's like this, like, you know, badass chick who's out there fighting people. She comes in with like a wound in her stomach. She's been shot. And then she's very much against the robots.
Okay. Yeah. I figured that was coming. Now this young girl has to decide between mother and like the truth, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, you find out maybe that's not necessarily the case.
Okay.
Oh. Interesting.
So there are a couple surprises and twists and turns, but to be quite honest, they're a little anticlimactic.
Okay.
You're a little really?
Interesting. They're not like the twists and the perfection that are a little more like, whoa.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So one and done.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
And that is our list for this week. We had Always Be My Maybe, which is an add this to your list, according to me.
She just done canceled Mark out on that.
Whatever. You heard both sides. You make a decision.
And skip that, according to
Mark. Yeah. Okay,
okay to miss.
Okay to miss, according to Mark.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing, which is a resounding ad, but also it's canceled, so you better watch
it
fast.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to really tell you. Watch it, but it's not going anywhere.
Then we had Netflix's Tales of the City.
Yes!
The gay show from our gay correspondent for Game Up.
Well, that's also kind of, spoiler alert, that's also kind of why I took Rocket Man off of my list.
Oh, because you already filled your Game Up.
Yes!
That feels right. Okay.
I loved Rocket Man. It's an ad.
Oh,
so.
My God. This was like, well, yeah, it's fine.
No, but...
It's talk about it. I was like, I can't wait to talk about it after the podcast. Wow, okay.
Then you had Ryle Bros,
mm-hmm.
which we think might be coming to streaming in...
No, it's coming to theaters in August, I'm sure it'll be on streaming shortly after, and I think it'll have a good life on streaming. Yeah, and thank you, Greenwich Film.
Yes, thank you for that.
And then we had I Am Mother, which is a one and done, and Free Walking Tours, which you should do if you're planning on doing some traveling.
Yeah, totally.
Summer, and chances are you are. So
I may even do one in Toronto if Toronto gives us another press pass. Hint, hint, Toronto.
Oh.
Hey, Toronto Film Festival. How you doing?
And what were the names of the tours again?
Strawberry Tours and Sandman.
Sandman. Okay, cool. I think people are going to take your advice, though.
Yeah, they totally should do it. And it's free, people. So, I mean, why would you not?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All right, now that was it for our list, and now we have changed locations, people. We are high budget up in this bitch because we are now on a boat in beautiful Candlewood Lake, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to our captain, Jeff.
Yes.
Thanks for driving us out here.
Hello? Yes, Jeff, thank you. Tell the people hello.
Hello, how is everyone?
So we're going to do something a little fun and on their Father's Day. We're going to get into some daddy zaddy discussions over some hot dudes or some delfs or maybe not some delfs.
Yeah, maybe not at all.
You know?
Greg here, our photographer for the day, is going to throw out some names later on.
Yeah, he sure is.
We'll react.
And we'll decide whether they were a zaddy or a daddy or not. And we may have some differing opinions because that's what happens,
yes,
you know?
We all host three different zaddy interests.
But first,
Let's share some of our own.
Yeah.
Zaddy daddies.
Who should go first? You want to go first, Tom?
I think Tom should go first.
This is a real throwback, Zaddy.
All right. The first one that came to mind, and if I had more time to think about it, I bet he wouldn't be my selection, but the first dad that came to mind that was kind of a hot dad, a zaddy, if you will, is Dawson's dad from Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
I have to say, Tom, the fact that you backtracked in your own selection right before saying it, I don't know about that.
Yeah, meanwhile, before we were recording, Tom was like, I have one in mind, but what do you think?
No, I think he was a good dad. He was good looking.
Yeah. He was football dad.
Yeah, and like, oh, and when he died, it was so sad. Remember that?
Did he die?
In a car accident, yeah.
Cheat on him?
She did.
Yeah, there was an affair.
Who did she cheat on him
his
with?
His friend.
Oh, God.
Or one, I think it was their coworker or something.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he was zaddy-like.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I would have to disagree. I didn't think he was.
Wow.
No, not at all. I didn't find him attractive in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Mark, who would be yours?
My zaddy was, so this was a remake that came out in 2005, the year I graduated high school. I was sitting in the theater with a big group of friends seeing the Amityville Horror remake. And guys, I'm just going to paint a picture for you. So we're all watching it. It's scary. It actually was a pretty good remake. I mean, I liked it.
Yes, scary as hell.
Freaky. And it's a rainy night. It's like 3 a.m. Ryan Reynolds is the dad, the lead character. He wakes up. He's wearing nothing but low-waisted.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Low-waisted.
That V?
Like, pants. I don't even know what they were. Like pajama pants, nothing else. And this was at a time when Ryan Reynolds had done Van Wilder and a few things, but he was
And
not.
He had a beard? Oh,
he did have a full beard.
Yes, but, he
and
did.
And then he's like going out to like the shed or like to the dock, and it's raining and he's wet and there's nothing but these.
Yes, George Lutz. Yes, George Lutz.
And yes, George Lutz, exactly. Uh-huh. And I just remember, you know, and I had boyfriends in high school and all that, but like I wasn't super, you know, talkative about it and all that. And I remember literally saying, shit, in the theater, that it's like, who is this Ryan Reynolds and what's going on? So I would say he is my zaddy pick. Happy
okay.
Zaddy day to you, George Lutz.
Do you agree?
He's still a zaddy.
Oh, still
Ryan Reynolds is a hot one. All right, we are back. That was our game. Is he a zaddy? Daddy? We're back inside from the boat. Sober and a lot more quieter.
A little calmer. Screaming a little less.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was our episode, 67, Down the Hatch. The first one we were all together, the three of us.
I know. It was awesome, guys.
It was fantastic.
This one's going to go in the record books.
Yes.
We want to thank Jay and Allie for contributing to the podcast. We thank you guys so much. Follow us on socials and leave us a review. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you want us to add. We'll do that.
Yeah. And let us know who you think is a zaddy.
Right. Exactly. And that's our show. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Yep.
And
happy
daddies.
Don't be deadbeat dads.
True that.
Yeah.
And we'll see y'all next time.
Yeah, we'll see you in a few weeks probably.
Bye.